Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
What a beautiful night. Welcome to this quarterfinal edition of TC Live at Roland Garros. We are presented all week by our friends at LoopNet. A weekday evening in Paris will eternally evoke all the feels, but as the sun stays up late into the night in June, there are extra emotions on the grounds of Roland Garros. Two of the top five players in the world meeting for the right to stay in this city for another evening. Top seed Carlos Alcaraz playing number five Stefano Tsitsipas for the fifth time. The Spaniard has won all four previous meetings, including the last two on clay, but Tsitsipas has never lost a major quarterfinal. There's Carlitos, the youngest player to reach the Roland Garros quarters in back-to-back years since the man that he could meet next, Novak Djokovic, more than 15 years ago. His fourth career Grand Slam quarterfinal in his ninth tournament comes in with a record of 34-3. So great to have you here with us, Steve Weissman, Chanda Rubin, John Wertheim. We want to welcome all our viewers watching on YouTube TV. You can find Tennis Channel and T2 on YouTube TV. And we are leading up to the night session. It's a big one. They know who they're going to play. Novak Djokovic is next. Carlos Alcaraz, Stefano Tsitsipas. What are your initial thoughts, Shanda?
I'm looking forward to this one. Alcaraz has had the advantage in their head-to-heads. You feel like he's got more firepower off both sides, and that's going to be the challenge for Stefano Tsitsipas, the backhand. That's the side that Alcaraz will try to attack with the forehand, especially the inside-out shot. You give Alcaraz the advantage, but can Tsitsipas create enough havoc? Can he mix it up enough? Can he get inside the court into the net enough to give himself a real shot? I think it's going to be a real challenge, especially with the way the head-to-head has gone on clay. But it's a new day. Anytime, we talk about this all the time, Steve, anytime you toss the balls up, you have a shot. And I think Tsitsipas has got to believe and he's got to go at Alcaraz.
Isn't it funny we're talking about a top five player? Like, you got a shot, kid. These guys have both been on the grounds for several hours. What does that mean? They've gotten some of this atmosphere. They figured out the wind and the lighting. They also saw Novak Djokovic win. They know he is the opponent who looms. But they also saw a little bit vulnerable Novak that we'll get to later in the show. So they go out to this big high-stakes match. Look, from the day the draw came out, we've been talking about the semifinal, Alcaraz, Djokovic. But I think Tsitsipas has a real chance of sneaking. He's played some very nice tennis very quietly when we've been watching the other two guys.
Yes, and you talk about that atmosphere. It is wild out here. I mean, so many fans behind us right now getting ready for the night session. They've been here all day long as well. That first men's quarterfinal. Well, it was Corinne Khachanov taking on Novak Djokovic, and we go back in time because the Russian's only win in nine previous matches against Djokovic came right here in France. It was 5 years ago in the final of the Paris Masters, the biggest title of Khachanov's career, first unseeded champ in more than a decade. So, some positive memories heading into a matchup Djokovic has dominated, including a straight set win at Roland Garros back in 2020, Chanda.
Yeah, that match where Khachanov won in Paris, conditions were a lot quicker, and he kind of played like that, Khachanov, in the first set, hitting winners left and right. But in the second, Djokovic turned the tables in this tiebreak, got off to a quick start, started opening up the court, using a little more variety, and this little foray at the net put Djokovic up two sets, the second set up going into that third set. And in the third, Djokovic able to play a lot better. I was surprised with how many errors we saw from him early in the match, but he cleaned that up in the third set, started coming in, using the entire court, and it was pretty one-sided. So advantage Djokovic going into the fourth. You kind of thought the match was just about over when Djokovic got up the break, but Khachanov had break points. This was a long game. Djokovic used some inspiration from the crowd, able to hold. But he had another little trip up there to get back to 4-all. But Khachanov, in the end, just could not withstand the barrage from Djokovic. The court coverage, it was a fantastic performance down the stretch.
How about winning the last 8 points of the match to close it out after getting broken? That is textbook Novak Djokovic. And he is once again into the semifinals at Roland Garros. 57 winners in the match. You don't see it on the board, but he had 11 aces. That's his most at Roland Garros since back in 2008. Let's hear from Nole on court.
You know, a little bit of a scare towards the end of the fourth set, but, you know, I managed to win 8 points in a row to finish it out. So, you know, it's a big fight. It's something that you expect. Quarterfinals of a Grand Slam. You know, you're not going to have your victories handed over to you. You got to earn them. So, you know, I'm just glad to overcome the big challenge of today.
And it was a challenge. You mentioned this earlier, John. What did you think of Djokovic losing his first set of the tournament?
Yeah, you know, we saw that score sheet and we saw the stat sheet, and it just doesn't really encapsulate everything he does. He lost his first set, and the second set went to a tiebreaker. So he's 7 points away from going down two sets to love. He's 36 years old. What does he do? He wins the tiebreaker and doesn't surrender a point. Then he gets a bit of a software upgrade, cruises, had a bit of a hiccup, was serving, and then got broken. What does he do? He breaks back at love. And that's the kind of thing that we don't quantify enough. There are so many complexities out there, and when he has to, he just simplifies. So will he be pleased with this? Well, he was talking to me. He said, look, I missed a bunch of volleys, and he had those rough patches. He said, my game stayed in the locker room for the first set and a half. You know what? He's still in the 70s.
Yeah, I mean, Djokovic, he understands so well the ebbs and flows of a 3 out of 5 set match. And you can see he didn't really panic, especially when he wasn't quite playing his best tennis in that first set. He lost the first. When he ended up taking that tiebreak, it almost felt like he was ahead, even though it was just even. It's just how he's able to work his way into these matches, and he can build. And the other player who's on the other side, I mean, they are playing at max capacity. So where can they go from there? And I think that's the challenge for a lot of opponents when Djokovic is in this space and in this state, and he certainly got there when he needed to in this match.
Say the game's still in the locker room, John. He's still in the locker room, which is a good thing. He's won 19 straight major matches, two more, history, 23rd title. That's what they're all going for. The ladies playing their quarterfinals earlier today as well. We start with former finalist Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova facing Karolina Muchova, John. The Czech suffering a devastating injury here last year. She's having her moment right now.
Yeah, missed 7 months, and neither of these players were seeded, but that's kind of misleading because Muchova, everyone knows, is top 20 caliber player. She proved that in the first round when she took out 6-seeded Maria Sakkari. And then, as you say, Steve, Pavlyuchenkova, she was a finalist the last time she played this event, so she's won 11 straight matches here. This was the younger player, the better mover, the better athlete prevailing here. Big opportunity for Muchova, and she took advantage. You get the feeling Pavlyuchenkova, her game is coming back, but it's not 100% there. Ran out of steam a little bit. Muchova, 14 of 16 ventures to the net were successful. She had more errors than winners. Just a nice, clean, subdued, comprehensive, authoritative match. It wasn't necessarily dazzling tennis, but in the end, the younger player prevailed into another second semifinal for Muchova.
Yeah, 5 breaks of serve in this match. 21 winners to just 13 unforced errors. Cool, calm, collected. That's Karolina Muchova. That's what she does. She is into the final four here in Paris. And she will take on the winner of this match. 8 months after giving birth to her daughter, Alina Svitolina, riding a 9-match win streak, facing Aryna Sabalenka, Chanda, who hasn't lost a major match all year.
This was a really fun match to watch, to see Svitolina, who's been playing such terrific tennis, really hold her own up to this point in the first set. They were on serve at 4-all, though, with Sabalenka winning those last couple of games, the last 3 games of the first set, reeled off winner after winner, and she continued into the second. So this was where Svitolina found a little fire and was able to get her nose out in front. But Sabalenka very quickly closed the gap on it. And the forehand, that was the big shot. Svitolina tried to stay away from it, tried to serve to the backhand a lot. But that pattern did not work down the stretch. And in the end, kind of felt a little bit like target practice for Sabalenka. But she worked for it and played a tremendous match in big moments. Lots of margin, but still going for it.
Now 10-0 in sets into her first semifinal at Roland Garros, completing her box set of semis at the 4 Grand Slams. No handshake at the net. Ukrainian players not shaking hands with Russians or Belarusians. Sabalenka still coming to net. In the end, though, she gets the victory, and it's powered by those 30 winners, 23 more than Alina Svitolina. Her serves went up to 119 miles an hour. Let's hear from Sabalenka courtside.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. She's such a tough opponent, moving well, and what she's doing after giving a birth, it's impressive, and big respect to her. But yeah, it was a tough match, and I'm super happy with the win, and atmosphere was amazing. Thank you so much for being here and supporting us. I mean, we all know that you're waiting for Novak, but still, I'll take it like it's for me. Thank you.
It's not just for Novak.
No, I don't believe that.
No, not at all. It's for her as well. 12-0 in majors this year. She had never made it past the third round here before coming. What was different for her?
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, when you win a major and you go to the subsequent major, you can say, boy, it's a lot of pressure on me. I'd be halfway to a calendar slam. Or you can say, you know what? I've done this. We're good. And she has really seized it here. I mean, 30 winners. She is just hitting out. She's aggressive as ever. I mean, I do think we should pause for a moment for Alina Svitolina, who's coming back from maternity leave. You mentioned the fact that she's from Ukraine, so there's that distraction and added pressure. She did a great job getting to the quarters, but this was just power tennis prevailing. And you sort of look at the way, you look at the way Sabalenka hits that ball, 80 miles an hour on the ground strokes. You mentioned her serve. Who can touch that? That is so much offense. Who can stop that?
Yeah, and especially when she's hitting with into a little more space. I mean, it used to be that you could expect more unforced errors from Sabalenka, especially in big moments, and there might be stretches of time where she'd go through a number of misses. She's not doing that anymore. And I think a lot of the added confidence, apart from winning her first major, was also winning one of the lead-up clay court events, the event in Madrid. That was big. I think that really gave her a sense that she could compete on this surface and contend for titles, big titles, and we're seeing that kind of belief now. So this is shaping up to be a blockbuster weekend.
It certainly is. Arena told us after the match she is looking forward to a potential photo shoot with the trophy and the Eiffel Tower. She wants to put it on Instagram. She's manifesting it, John.
There. Right back there. two miles away. Two matches and two
matches and 2 miles away. A lot more still to get to here on TC Live. We revisit an old Tennis Channel moment from right here in Paris. Plus, some big news for two-time Roland Garros quarterfinalist Carla Suarez-Navarro, who has a new doubles team. Speaking of doubles, Jesse Pegula and Coco Gauff are looking for major glory, looking to take it one step further this year in Paris. And we've got the very latest on a controversy that has rocked the tennis world. It's all happening live from Paris, leading up to the second quarterfinal tonight. Chanda, John, and Steve back on TC Live at Roland Garros, presented by LoopNet. There's Stefanos Tsitsipas, looking to maintain a perfect Grand Slam quarterfinal record. He is 6-0 in quarterfinal matches, and this, his third trip to the Final Eight at Roland Garros. Well, Carlos Alcaraz ruined his perfect record tonight. But first, a special moment from the Tennis Channel archives.
No idea what's going on in here right now.
That is the president of Tennis Channel, Ken Solomon, and he is about to zip line from the top of the Eiffel Tower, about a mile. This is a setup right now in downtown Paris. Ken told me yesterday he was absolutely terrified. Has a couple of GoPros on his arms, but he's afraid of heights.
This is the master of the universe, Mauricio. You're a champion. I love you. Mwah.
Our fearless leader, Ken Solomon, he will do anything to promote Tennis Channel. In fact, he just had a whole bunch of friends right up here taking photos in the last break. We love you, Ken. Would either of you do that zip line?
Absolutely. I love zip lining.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, the first time I almost cried. But now I'm an old hat at it.
Go in my stead. I'll be the one taking photos.
Mile long. I mean,
that's pretty sweet.
That was 2 years
ago. He is literally our fearless leader.
Fearless. Oh,
you know that snooty, uptight tennis crowd? That's our leader right there.
That could be a good photo shoot right there, right? It's going zipline right off the Eiffel Tower.
The tennis ball helmet, though.
That's true, yeah. But I think we should do it as a team building exercise.
Chanda, you are on your own, Chanda Rubin. You are on your own. Reminded that tennis.com, your home for everything during Roland Garros throughout the year. Right now, you can find David Kane writing about the support for double specialist Miyu Kato. Joel Drucker profiles the rise of Ange Jabeur in Paris. and learn all about Coco Gauff's secret sweet weapon you can only find in France. Back with more as we count down to Alcaraz and Tsitsipas in the night session.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Back at Roland Garros, the Tennis Shop, powered by Tennis Point, is the new online store featuring the latest apparel and equipment. Choose from a wide selection of brands and get the same gear as your favorite pros. Check it out now by scanning this QR code or by going to tennisshop.com. I just checked it out. The 2023 Paris collections are stunning. Well, Carlos Alcaraz, getting that body ready for battle. He is behind the scenes in the gym, making his second straight quarterfinal at Roland Garros. Looking to take it one or two steps further this year. A win tonight, and the 20-year-old will be the youngest Roland Garros semifinalist since the man he would play in the final four, Novak Djokovic, who did it back in 2007. Women's doubles quarterfinals earlier today. Coco Gauff, Jessie Pegula hoping to get back to the final themselves, facing Anna Bondar and Greek Minich, Chanda.
And Gauff and Pegula, they really dominated that first set. Up at the net here, closing it off, each other up, but they returned brilliantly, stepping in, lots of winners and putting their opponents under pressure, and made pretty easy work of this first set. Right hands up there at the net for Coco Gauff. And, of course, that is helping her singles. But on to the second, we would go, and it would be a tie break. Trading breaks throughout this second set. But it was Gauff and Pegula able to turn the tables here. And that nice lob, just pinpoint accuracy. And here's the tie break, and we get to match point. Again, it's Gauff and Pegula, which is so solid. Good communication, and nice straight sets win. Continue their run.
Then a combined 33 winners. They could potentially face Taylor Townsend and Layla Fernandez in the semis. Remember last year, they beat Taylor Townsend and Maddie Keys in the final four. Such a great tandem. I love the fact, John, Jessie Pegula is out of the singles, right? She's out of the mixed doubles as well. But she is still playing the doubles with Coco, who's now in the semis there, and in the quarters and singles.
Everybody wins. So Jessie Pegula potentially gets to go out on a high note. Coco gets a match-tough preparation. She doesn't have to sit around and practice. She much prefers this. Fans get to see two top ten players in action. Everybody wins. You wish more players did it.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of bonus, especially for Coco Gauff now, still in the singles. Obviously, a big quarterfinal match coming up. But it's nice to have a little more relaxed live match play, have a little more fun, as she and Jessie Pegula do together. And I think all of that adds to the fantastic tennis she's been playing.
Into the semifinals in doubles. Can she get there in singles? We'll have to beat Iga Świątek. That match tomorrow, that's a blockbuster. Second on Philippe Chatrier. Meantime, the biggest controversy of the week came on the women's doubles court as well. Let's take you back. Miyu Kato, Aldila Sugiati, they got disqualified on Sunday for unintentionally hitting a ball kid with a ball. It was Kato that was practicing, hitting a backhand. It hit the ball kid. And then Sara Cerebes-Tormo, Marie Boskova told the umpire that the ball girl was crying and said Kato should be defaulted. They confer. Initially, the umpire said it was a warning. In the end, he defaults them. Terrible decision, in my opinion. You can see Kato absolutely in tears. Let's listen in.
Mixed feeling. She the ball. She didn't even propose. She didn't get injured.
She didn't do it on purpose?
She's crying, eh?
She's crying.
Yeah. It, and she has blood.
She's crying.
Come on.
She was crying. There was no blood. And because of that, they got defaulted and Kato lost all her money and points. Right decision, wrong decision?
You know, I think the rules are that if you hit ball kid, a lines person, anyone in the stands, you are automatically disqualified. So that is the letter of the law, the rules, so to speak. So I understand it from that standpoint. But I think what I found especially disturbing was the two opponents, Boskova and Cerebes Tormo, campaigning to see her defaulted, see that team defaulted after the umpire ruled it, you know, a warning. Yeah, I think we can all go back and forth on whether it should have stayed a warning. I think that would have been fine because it was not intentional. Maybe she thought the ball kid was looking when she hit it at her. It's hard to tell from that angle, but it's unfortunate that two competitors would have preferred to win that way and then make it seem like it was all in fair play. I just found that especially sad as a player myself.
Yeah, that was really distasteful. I mean, this, you know, because on a number of dimensions, this has been a controversy. This has been brewing. This was 2 days ago, and it's still really the talk of the tournament. And my question too is, we have AI for line calls, right? We don't have challenges, we don't have line judges anymore. Could you not have just looked at the video and seen what had happened? This was not done with malice, this was not done with ill intent. It happened to have struck the ball. I mean, the letter of the law would say yes to disqualification. Anyone that looks at that, I mean, she's a net away, it was not done forcefully. And then exactly to have the opposing team, I think the French word is tattle. I mean, have the French team basically go up to the chair and say, hey, listen, did you see that? I thought that was pretty poor. I mean, you got to say, tennis karma has kind of done its thing, that the tennis community has really rallied around this player. I mean, I was corresponding with the referee today who basically said, because this was not deemed to be ill intent, the player is able to stay in the mixed doubles tato. She did forfeit all of her points and prize money for women's doubles, though.
You talk about the karma. Sarah Cerebes Tormo lost in singles yesterday, lost in doubles today, so she is out of the tournament. Kato and Sugiati, by the way, one of them is going to make the mixed doubles final, which is pretty cool. Alize Cornet chiming in, said, insane decision. I really feel sorry for you, but a lot of players, except Marie and Sarah, obviously, are supporting you. And I spoke to some players as well, Chanda, and they said the same thing. They did not agree with what Cerebes Tormo and Boskova did.
Yeah, I think for most players, that is where they would have the problem. Obviously, if the chair had ruled it immediately, not a lot you may have been able to do. But for two players who didn't see the ball hit the ball person, not even witness it, to campaign to not want to complete the match and have you defaulted and you know, go through that, I just find that very, very disheartening.
Don't like it at all.
Yeah.
Meantime, David Kane, tennis.com, tweeted that Cerebes Tormo defended and downplayed her involvement in the default, explaining that she and Boskova, all they did was alert the umpire that the ball girl was crying. John, we already heard. She said there was blood there, too. That wasn't true.
Yeah, I think that, again, go to the videotape, just as you would to see whether the initial act was done with malice and was worthy of default, which it was not. You can go back and play the tape, and it pretty much speaks for itself. Not a good look. Again, tennis karma is alive and well, though.
Sugiati was able to keep her points and prize money from the women's doubles. Kato was not. And like I mentioned, both of them are in the semifinals in mixed doubles. One of them is going to go for the title. I said, let's give some love to Kato. I hope she comes through in the end. Still to come, first-time quarterfinalist Tomas Martín Echeverri has a special connection to Roland Garros back home in Argentina. We'll explain when TC Live continues. Back on TC Live, it is time for our LoopNet Finding Spacing Winning Point. We go back to Alejandro Davidovich-Fokina. Third round against Novak Djokovic. Around the post, John.
LoopNet on his Caballo the Spaniard. Djokovic stole the tournament to this guy. This is the boy who's had a great shot.
Yeah, this is incredible. It looked like Djokovic's shot was going to be amazing, and then Davidovich-Fokina did him one better. Talk about finding space. There was almost no space, having to go around the net. shot. Perfect shot.
Loop net. Really finding space. It's called the loop net. Loop net. That's what he did.
He looped the net. He found the space. He got that point. He did not get the win. Novak Djokovic came back to get the win. And now he is into the semifinals. 45th career major semifinal. Only three humans have ever done that. Roger Federer, Chrissy Everett, and now Novak Djokovic. By the way, saw Chrissy on site today. Looks fantastic. Doing well. We always love seeing Chrissy.
Love it. Love it. And I mean, what company to be in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chrissy, amazing. And, you know, they're trying to, you know, follow suit.
45-7. He's looking for, though, 23 singles titles, Novak Djokovic.
Novak wins. I know someone who might be presenting a trophy. I don't know. But, no, great to see Chrissy. Great to see Martina both. They've both had a heck of a year. They're bracketed together in so many ways. Great to see them both here.
But who are you hearing? Is there a rumor out there?
We'll see. Come on.
Okay.
Later in the week. Later in the week.
Trying to break news here on TC Live.
A lot of tennis left to be played.
Follow John on Twitter, I guess. Time for the social net. Big congratulations to former world number six, Carla Suarez Navarro. Just gave birth to twin daughters, Ona and Noah. She said the feeling of bringing two girls into the world is indescribable. Just beautiful, Sanda.
No, I love this. And I love how she kind of superimposed the letters for their names. I mean, so creative.
Yeah,
but I mean, just beautiful phase of life. And, you know, to have your family grow in this way. She's had such a terrific tennis career, Carla Suarez Navarro. So loved by the players and such a, you know, fantastic sport out there. And now, you know, reaping some of the benefits and enjoying this part.
Lovely. The anagram names and now more kids than she had hands on her backhand.
maybe a little double steam there. We wish all the best to Carla and her partner, Spanish soccer star Olga Garcia. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. How about this one? When Thomas Martin Echeverry was 10 years old, his family got a dog. He named it Roland Garros. Well, fast forward to last night. RG watched Tomas make the Roland Garros quarters from Argentina. Little Roland Garros.
RG, I like that. A little nickname going on. You know,
he was always a fan, John. He was always a fan.
We've seen players name their pets Rafa and Roger and then presumably Novak. I like the sort of the collective. That's a good, safe way to play. You don't offend anyone, and the fact that he's had his breakthrough here is fitting.
Big Roland Garros fan in Argentina. You mentioned the cat Rafa. Seth Porter, remember, named his cat Rafa, and it was 3 years ago. They played Rafa in the fourth round here. Haley Baptiste has a dog named Songa, named after Joe Wilfred Songa.
Wow, I didn't know that. You see, it just comes full circle. I mean, do you think he says Roland Garros when he's mad at his dog, or does he shorten it a little bit? I'm curious.
We'll see how Echeverry does. Let's check out Wednesday's schedule here on Tennis Channel. He is in action at night. That's right. Thomas Martin Echeverry taking on Alexander Zverev. We all start off our coverage 5 a.m. Eastern. Ange Jabeur, Beatrice Haddad-Maia. Looking forward to that one. Then it's the blockbuster that we've been waiting for, the quarterfinal. Iga Swiatek, Coco Gauff. Can Coco get her first win ever against the world number one? And the night session has the rematch between Casper Ruud and Holger Rune. More TC Live tomorrow as well. And more TC Live after a quick break. Ruben Wertheim Weissman back on TC Live from Roland Garros, presented by LoopNet. The Legends Tournament got underway today. Art Caroline Wozniacki teaming up with Natalie Toziot against Gabby Sabatini and Gisela Dulko, Chanda.
This was classic. A lot of fans enjoying it. It's a little high backhand volley from Wozniacki. That shot, she's gotten since retirement, so I was impressed. It was a lot of fun that they were having out there, and then Caroline showing some of her feel with the lob. This was a shot that paid a lot of mortgages for her, and it continues to do so. She's double duty, was in the announce booth earlier, and then on the tennis court later. It's a pretty good day.
John, was she LoopNet finding space there on that?
Yeah, more LoopNet. We need to see coordinating attire for them. The Argentines had it. Mm. Caroline, I mean, dare I say, 2 years younger than Serenko, who played in the quarters yesterday. Just saying.
She looks like she's ready for a comeback. Lindsay Davenport's in the Legends, too, right? We got a couple of...
She can hit the ball.
We definitely got to get footage of her. She's going to hate us, and we're going to love it.
How are they not partners? How do we not have a Tennis Channel team?
I think they're switching up, though.
No one works them out.
Oh, okay.
Someone's got to call tennis.
FanDuel pick of the day results, Shanda. Another win.
250.
You know, you got to take what you can get.
We got to get the... Gonna turn that negative into a positive.
Well, I mean, I need some plus money, but it's hard to get that plus money, John.
32-17 is nothing to complain about, though.
All right. Sabalenka's only got 34 wins. You got 32 on the year. You're right there with her.
What do you got?
Not an equal comparison, but I'll take it. I'm taking Ons Jabeur over Haddad Maia. Of course, Haddad Maia would be the plus money, but I feel like Jabeur is going to get through that match. He's got too much variety. The power of Haddad Maia, I think Jabeur will like it. And I think this will be a good matchup for her.
All right, right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to start making every moment more. Well, Stefano Tsitsipas is a big underdog tonight. He's at plus 350 to pull off the upset. I don't know. What is he going to have to do, John?
That's a big number for, a five seed who's reached the finals here. I think some of this is about tennis and just withstanding. I mean, there are going to be these half-hour windows when Alcaraz is just going to be lights out. It's withstanding that. I don't know what Tsitsipas is going to do. The one-handed backhand plays to Alcaraz's strengths. But, you know, I mean, he's a veteran. He's played further here. The guy's number five seed. And we're talking about him like he's, came in from the quali draw. I think this is a much closer match than the odds would suggest.
Premier jour entré sur le court et cinquième mondial aujourd'hui. Il était finaliste ici en 2021. Il est grec, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
This is a rematch from the Barcelona final this year that Alcaraz won in straight sets. Tsitsipas did break early in that match, but he could not hold on. It is best of five here. So Stefano Tsitsipas looking for a quick start. And here's the 20-year-old back in the quarterfinals for a second straight year.
Il s'envoie à celui qui n'a que 20 ans, déjà vainqueur d'un grand chelem, US Open l'an passé, il est espagnol numéro 1 mondial, Carlos Alcaraz.
Carlitos Alcaraz, the youngest man to be the top seed at Roland Garros since Bjorn Borg nearly 50 years ago. Who will join Novak Djokovic in the Final Four? The men's quarterfinals, under the lights, in the city of lights. Mark Pecci, Jim Courier on the call. It's coming up next on Tennis Channel.